Welcome into the unnamed MMA podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah, reunited with Jordan Sherwood. Thank you to Shane Norling for filling in for me last week. I thought he did a good job. I don't know how the picks turned out, but he did a good job.
His dart didn't hit.
Did not hit. Well, that's why it's a dart.
My picks were terrible.
Okay, so it didn't matter that I missed. Terrible. All right, cool. But we are back for this card, if they want to call it that. UFC fight day, fight night. It's not even a night. It's a day. Fight day. Ahead of UFC 300. Normally, we call this the appetizer. This isn't even like the appetizer for the main event, for the main meal. This is like the crappy apple that you eat at lunch because you're like, I'm having a good dinner
tonight. You're having a good dinner tonight. You're prepping yourself.
Yeah. So you're not eating a lot. And this card is definitely that. There's not a lot of meat on this bone, as they say.
I mean, look, you're right. It's not got right. A lot of contender series. Oh. There's a lot of UFC debutants.
Yeah, this is stupid.
This is a short notice main event fight. So, yes, we are looking forward and on to UFC 300, but we still have one more week of fights to get through. And look, rightly so, you talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago when we were talking about a UFC card that was lackluster. I guess you want to, again, give credit to Dana White. I mean, there's something more important happening on Saturday afternoon evening, and that is
That's
the final four.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not watching this.
Well, of course, of course you're not.
I'm not. Alabama's playing.
Of course you're not.
I don't know if you know this, but Alabama's in the Final Four.
Very well aware.
Don't know if you know this, but I got a game to watch Saturday night. I got to watch a team get crushed by UConn because that's what's going to happen. All right, so let's just skim through this pretty quickly, and then we'll get into some UFC 300 preview stuff because that's a big one, obviously. So, like you said, there's not a lot of meat on this bone for this fight night for the UFC this week. We'll start with the way that the main card kicks off, and that's with Trevor Peak against Charlie Campbell. Trevor Peak is plus 165, the underdog. Charlie Campbell, a hefty minus 215. This is a lightweight fight, a matching up of Dana White Contender Series alums. But this actually should be a pretty exciting fight the way that Peak fights.
Exactly. I think that's where you have to highlight it between Trevor Peak and Charlie Campbell. Trevor Peak got a lot of his notoriety and a lot of spotlight put on him with his second-round knockout when he was on Dana White's Contender Series. Then he made his UFC debut and knocked out a fighter with a running hammer fist. You don't see that happen quite often, but Trevor Peak fights with a ferociousness and aggressiveness that a lot of people and pundits thought that was it was going to continue. Like, that was going to be what Trevor Peak's recipe was to get maybe into the consideration as a top 15 lightweight, maybe a top 10 lightweight discussion. But in his sophomore appearance in the UFC, he lost. That style did not actually lead to a win. It ended up being a unanimous decision loss. So he did bounce back with, again, another victory, but it wasn't the one that people expected. People expected that this guy is likely going to be spoon-fed some of his early-on opponents so he could showcase that ferociousness and that striking style that's extremely entertaining. Charlie Campbell, very similar. You know, he had his UFC debut at UFC Noche. Very impressive. I believe it was a second-round knockout as well. So he comes in, similar style. He's a little bit more, I think, subdued with his striking attack. He's not as aggressive as as Trevor Peak is Campbell. He likes to pick you apart from distance. But I think this will be an entertaining fight for sure. I do not believe that this fight is going to the judges' scorecard. So the way the method of victory that I would look at it is likely under rounds 2.5.
Okay.
We don't have the totals out quite yet. Charlie Campbell does come from a very impressive camp that we've talked about that was very successful last week at UFC Atlantic City. That's Longo Serra. That's Longo Weidman. Chris Weidman was victorious in his victory last week. He comes from that camp. He's one of the up-and-comers for that Ray Longo, Matt Serra camp. And you could see it in his precision striking. But Peak's going to bring the fight to him. So I do believe someone is likely getting their head knocked off. They're getting knocked out. So I'd look at the under at 2.5. If you need me to pick a particular fighter to put on the money line, it's going to be Charlie Campbell.
Parlay.
He was impressive in his UFC. No, because there's not a lot of confidence in that because, again, I just think that Trevor...
Unclick.
Yeah, unclick that. Because I just think that Trevor Peak has such a unique style to him and his aggressiveness and how he just goes balls to the wall and throws caution at the wind to be able to get the guy out. And that's hard to emulate in camp. That is hard to prepare for when you step into the octagon. So Charlie Campbell might be ill-prepared for a fighter of that caliber. And if I'm going to risk a 3-4-leg parlay on that type of matchup, I do not like it. If it was Ignacio Bahamendez, which we'll talk about maybe a little bit later, he's a precision striker. He's got fluidity to his strike, so I like him catching like a Trevor Peak with his head coming up. I can't necessarily analyze that yet with Charlie Campbell. So I'd Campbell on the money line if you need to play a fighter, but yeah. I like the under at 2.5.
All right, so we'll take the under 2.5 in Campbell and Peak. Our next fight, you just mentioned him, Ignacio Bahamendez, Christos Yagos, are fighting here in this lightweight fight. Bahamendez has made 5 appearances inside the octagon. He is 3-2 in those fights. I believe he trains with Bilal Muhammad.
That is correct.
Because I've seen them training together leading up to this fight. So he is in that Bilal Muhammad camp that trains either here in Milwaukee, but in the Midwest, pretty close to Chicago regardless. And then he is a heavy, heavy favorite. I'm putting him in the parlay already. -350, and Christos Yagos is +255 for this fight.
Yeah, the first thing you have to worry about always initially with Bahamendez is, does he make weight? He has missed weight before. He's been in 2 catchweight fights in his UFC career. So how does the cut go down to 155? Because he's a very large, tall, lengthy lightweight. But if he gets to the octagon and he's solid in that weight cut, I don't think he's going to have any issues with Christos Yagos. I mean, Yagos is a tough guy. Prefers to get fights to the ground, looks to get some submissions. Bahamendez has been a guy that has been submitted, but not in the UFC. This was prior to him getting to the UFC on the regional circuit. He lost twice via submission, but I think Bahamendez is going to pick him apart all day, maybe even likely get the finish, because we've seen Yagos get finished before by not as talented strikers that come with that unorthodox length and size for the lightweight division. So for me, Bahamendez certainly can be put into the parlay. You were asking for one. He could be our first leg of the parlay, or maybe we'll get some on the prelims, but certainly one to add. And I think he's going to win the fight via knockout, so you could look for him to win inside the distance or win by KO as well. I just don't think Christos Yagos is going to be able to get this fight to the ground where he wants it and keep that there because of the size difference and also just the fluidity of the striking that Bahamendez is going to bring.
Yeah, we don't have any of these methods. Actually, I do have method of victories for this one. So Bahamendez by knockout is +140.
Perfect. Let's get plus money on that.
All right, I like that. That you know what? We're putting that. That's the prop of the night.
All right.
Last time I was here, sorry, Shay, you couldn't do it. You threw your dart. You missed. The Abdallah prop.
What happens when you throw a dart?
Well, the Abdallah prop hit last time. So the Abdallah prop is Bahamendez by knockout at +140, and we'll add him to our parlay as well. Our next fight on this card, if you want to call it that, is Alexander Hernandez against Damon Jackson. Jackson is +160 on the money line. Alexander Hernandez -210 in this featherweight fight. And Hernandez moved to featherweight the end of 2022, Damon Jackson entered 2023 on a 4-fight winning streak. So this should be actually a decent fight despite the odds.
It should be an entertaining fight. Both guys are action fighters. You know, Damon Jackson fights with a pressure style. He's long also for the lightweight division. You know, he's going to look to get in the face of for the featherweight division, look to get in the face of Alexander Hernandez, potentially look for submissions. He has been susceptible to the knockout, has Damon Jackson, and Alexander Hernandez certainly is a thumper. Guy's got a very strong overhand right. My issue also with, as we talked about with Bahamendez, is Alex Hernandez going to be able to successfully make weight? He has also struggled. I mean, he's a compact 145-pound fighter. He's also a guy that has tired out in fights before, cannot rely on his cardio. He has proven not to be able to be reliable of his cardio. So for me, this is dog or pass. I just can't rely so much on Alexander Hernandez. I think he burst onto the scene, obviously, with a first-round knockout and a short-notice fight with Benil Dariush. You're going to do that. But then in his third appearance in the UFC, he got humbled. He was fed to the wolves immediately right away against a fight with Donald Cowboy Cerrone. And since then, he's alternated kind of wins and losses, alternated weight classes, trying to figure himself out. He should be the favorite. He's got more talent than Damon Jackson. He's going to be a difficult guy to get out of there. But I think if Damon Jackson can weather that early storm, avoid that overhand right that Alexander Hernandez is going to bring, and start to pressure him, kind of a similar fight to what we just saw Alexander Hernandez have the last time out with a guy that I think fights in a similar style as Damon Jackson and Bill Elgio. And even though we saw Bill Elgio get knocked out, that was a loss for me. I had him on the money line. That was a bad look for me. But anyway, if he fights like Bill Elgio, not like last week, but how traditionally how Bill Elgio fights in his fights, Damon Jackson could steal this fight and win. So it's dog or pass for me on this fight. I think Damon Jackson certainly maybe worth like a half a unit look at this one.
All right, so a little bit of sprinkle on Damon Jackson at plus 160. His method of victories are Jackson by knockout is 10-1, Jackson by submission plus 450, and Jackson by decision at plus 500.
No really method of victory. I mean, I think again, he could take over late, get a late finish TKO, maybe even, you know, get the unanimous decision on 29-28. I just think you have to avoid, again, the early onset and the early onslaught of Alexander the Great Hernandez in this fight.
All right, our main event for this one, a rematch, Brendan Allen against Chris Curtis. These two fought back in 2021, Curtis registering a second-round stoppage. It was the last time that Brendan Allen suffered any form of setback. He has a six-fight winning streak, five of them coming by rear naked choke. So does Brendan Allen avenge his loss to Chris Curtis back in 2021? Brendan Allen is minus 215 on the money line. Chris Curtis plus 165.
I mean, this was supposed to be Marvin Vettori. This was supposed to be a very big step up in competition for Brendan Allen. Finally get his shot at like the top five of the middleweight division. He'll have to, accept the short notice nature of Chris Curtis. But a guy that's a tough out, a guy that knocked him out and beat him before. And look, you just mentioned the submission rear naked choke victories, and you know he's been outstanding at doing them. I mean, even submitting Paul Craig by submission rear naked choke the last time that we saw him. Very impressive. Brendan Allen has had questions before about his cardio, shown that it's not really a big factor anymore with a couple of those third-round submissions coming in the third round. My issue is that Chris Curtis is a very difficult guy to get to the ground. I mean, he has some of the best takedown defense, not only just in the middleweight division, but in the UFC. And he's the action man. He is an action fighter. He is in your face, pressuring you strong for, however many rounds that the fight is. Now, I do believe this is Chris Curtis's first main event. Maybe he took a short notice fight. Not sure if that short notice fight again was.
Was that Phil Hawes fight a main event? The one that
it was. The one I was thinking about. Jack Hermanson was gotcha. Was a fight that he lost. No, it wasn't even. It was a 3-round fight as well. But controversial decision loss for him. So the pace that he fights at is going to cause some issues. Brendan Allen at times has shown that leaky defense from the stand up, and obviously case in point, getting the knockout Curtis over Brendan Allen. So I want to see this price fall down a little bit on Brendan Allen before I would make a recommendation on him. 210, way too steep of a price. But Chris Curtis kind of alternates wins and losses. You know, he's a good fighter. I don't think he's a great fighter. Luxury for him, though, other factor to consider, Abdallah, is that he trains and lives in Las Vegas with Sean Strickland and Extreme Couture.
Yeah.
Brendan Allen is traveling across country. He trains with American Top Team in South Florida. You do have to weigh that. Plus the fact, too, Chris Curtis was in the gym preparing for a fight. Brendan Allen was in the gym preparing for Marvin Vettori.
Yeah.
A little bit of a similar style. I think Curtis fights with a little bit more pressure. But the stand-up game kind of the same in regards to Marvin Vettori. Chris Curtis, bigger middleweights, thicker middleweights, if you will. So I might just say leave this one alone. Go watch the Final Four game. I don't have a play yet on this. You can follow me on Twitter, Wood, on ESPN Chicago. Is that my Twitter handle?
ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. Thank you. That didn't sound right as I was saying it. I know. It's funny. I don't even know my social. Not many people do either. But if you do, I'll have out an opinion. I'll have an opinion, an official opinion on this fight later on in the week.
All right. So the picks so far are the Campbell Peak under 2.5, Bahamondes by knockout at plus 140, and Damon Jackson a little bit of a sprinkle on his money line at plus 160. We have Bahamondes in a parlay right now. He's the only one, though, so actually just right now it's a money line play.
Oh, we got to get that down. let's add Alex Morono, the great white.
All right, hold on, let me find him.
I remember him.
Prelims, Alex Morono, yep, okay.
Okay, let's add him to the mix. Who else can we add there as well? See, the thing is there's like a couple of dogs that I'm looking at in the women's side. Jermaine Dane Rondamy over Norman Dumont. JDR is plus 132.
Oof.
And Cynthia Calvillo is plus 114 underdog against Pierre Rodriguez.
What about Melissa Mullins?
She's strong. I'll take Alatang over Victor Hugo. So Alatang's a minus 102, so that'll help.
Yeah, plus 230 right there. So okay. Alex Morono, Ignacio Bahamondes, and Alatang Haley?
Yeah.
At plus 230 for those three fights. That's good. Just a little sprinkle. We don't need to force it. Going to have a lot of plays next week.
Yeah, we're going to go.
We're going to have a fight
by me on
all right, so that's it. We're done. We're done with it. We're done with this crap.
Oh, you got to rip it up, too.
No, we're done. Bad. I'm done. It's so bad, dude. It's awful. It's awful. Okay, now, next week, UFC 300, Las Vegas, T-Mobile Arena, none of this Apex crap. All right, this is the one. The poster is one of the worst posters I've ever seen in my life.
It's not great.
Someone with a Sharpie just took it, one of those big block Sharpies, and made this poster. It's crap. I hate the logo. I hate everything about it. But the fights are going to be great. Alex Pereira against Jamahal Hill. Zhang Wei Li against Yan Xiaonan. Justin Gaethje against Max Holloway. Charles Oliveira against Armin Sarukian. Bo Nickel against Cody Brundage. Then your prelims. Well, before that, your prelims. Jiří Procházka against Alexander Rakic. Calvin Kattar against Aljamain Sterling. Holly Holm against Kayla Harrison. Sadiq Youssef against Diego Lopez. Then your early prelims. Jalen Turner against Renato Moicano. Jessica Andrade against Mariano Rodriguez. Bobby Green against Jim fucking Miller. And then Deiveson Figueiredo against Kobe Garbrandt. I mean, that's a fucking card,
man. You open up the fight card with the former flyweight champion of the world taking on the former bantamweight champion of the world.
That's a card.
And Cody Garbrandt. Yes, it's a card. Top to bottom, great fights. Every single one of them should be fantastic, should be outstanding. Look, you're going to have to get creative, though. And if you look at it, odds are not in favor of you doing the like money line picks and stuff like that. You're going to have to parlay.
Yeah.
You're going to have to find methods of victory in this one because we've got some big-time favorites versus some huge underdogs. But right off the bat, I don't care. Every single time he fucking fights, I'm backing him. It's two guys I'm backing. I'm backing the Bronx. I'm backing Oliveira. He is an underdog against Armin Sarukian. This is a dramatic step up in competition for Armin Sarukian. This is kind of akin to what people said with Benoit Saint-Denis and Justin
Poirier. Plus 195.
This Armin Sarukian is a fantastic fighter.
Yeah.
And look, he has not fought anybody except when he took the short notice fight against the current UFC lightweight champion of the world, Islam Makhachev. But, that was a short notice, and that was well before Makhachev became the fighter that he is today. So Charles Oliveira is going to get my money. Whether I don't care, win or lose, I'm backing him. And the other guy is Jim fucking Miller.
Yeah.
I'm going to back Jim fucking Miller.
Yeah. You have
those
to.
Are the two.
Jim Miller plus 155. Two dogs right off the bat. Get him. Now, do you think people should bet it as they're listening to this now, or do you think you'll get a better price on Oliveira closer to fight night as more money maybe comes in on Sarukian?
I think if anybody, the money's going to come more and more on Sarukian. I think
so.
On Charles Oliveira. I don't believe that you should wait on Bobby Green and Jim Miller. Bobby Green is a fantastic fighter, been there, but look, he's coming off of a very, very brutal knockout at the hands of Jalen Turner. He had that weird knockout the fight before that against Grant Dawson. Jim Miller is tough as they come, finds finishes. He's going to be motivated. He might be looking to take the gloves off after he chokes out one Bobby Green. So I think public money, a ton of it's going to come on Jim fucking Miller. And I'm going to continue to say that. I'm just going to will it into existence, Bruce Buffer, friend of the show. Will it into existence that he's going to call him that. I would say get Miller now. You can probably wait on Charles Oliveira for a little bit more value.
But
there's more
risk
with Oliveira. I mean, there's more risk with Oliveira. Sarukian is a killer.
Yeah.
That guy likely going to be fighting for the championship. But
yeah.
That step up in competition is different, and Oliveira just can get you a variety of different ways.
I mean, this is going to be a stacked day. I mean, this thing, it starts, the early prelims start at 5 o'clock Central. I mean, this one might be worth the price of admission for the pay-per-view. Like, I'm not paying to go, obviously, but, like, this might be worth it. Because the national championship's going to be over. Because
Saturday of the Masters.
It's the Saturday of the Masters. It's not like they play at night.
Right.
They don't play at night. It's A-Day. If that matters to more people than just me, it's Alabama's spring game.
Yeah, so no one else cares.
I'll be watching that.
Listening to this.
I'll be watching that. I usually tape it and watch it the next day just because so I can fast forward through commercials and stuff. But yeah, this is going to be great. Any other recommendations, any price movement that you think will happen that maybe people should jump on before I say this, but you know, the casual bettor doesn't really move numbers a lot. But before, you know what can move numbers is foreign money. Is you get some of these foreign fighters and you get some of the foreign money that starts to come in, especially since this is in Vegas, that come in from out of town. They're big shooters, they're high rollers, they come in, they spend money, and that money can, like me, like a bunch of $50 bets isn't going to move a number, you know? But one big $500,000 bet or the right $10,000 bet is going to move this. Anybody you see that bet now.
I don't see the price point getting any better for Justin Gaethje.
Okay.
I think more money is going to come in on him.
Okay.
So I guess if you're a Max Holloway fan, you wait and see. But if you like Gaethje, you grab that now. I think that, you know, I would grab Jiří Prochazka at +108 right now at FanDuel. I think he should win the fight. He should be favored in a fight against Alexander Rochick. And I think Alex Pereira, that's a very good price to get him at $1.50.
Okay.
I mean, Jamal Hill is a very impressive fighter, but he's coming off of injury. Pereira, as I talked about with you 2 weeks ago, the dude's motivated to headline UFC 301 next month in Brazil.
That's crazy.
So, like, he's and he'll be prepared.
Yeah.
He will be prepared. And now, look, he is standard as the light heavyweight champion of the world based on what he's done against Jiří Prochazka. The fight is his introduction into the weight class, against, oh my God, the tip of my tongue. Jan Blachowicz, thank you for the help. You didn't help, but I got it.
I was here.
You were there, mentally. So I think, I don't think that price point is going to change one bit. And I will try and come up with an extremely unique way to bet Bo Nickel against Cody Brundage.
Yeah,
he's minus 2,200 right now.
I mean, yeah, that's insane. So I would say that's this is going to be a fun one. This is our next show is going to be a little longer. I think we've got a lot of fights to go through because I'll tell you this, anything on the early prelims would be better than the crap they're putting up in front of us this weekend. Like Jalen Turner, Renato Moicano, could headline.
That would headline this
weekend. Any of them would headline this weekend.
Yes.
So
100%.
Enjoy the Final Four this weekend. Roll Tide. They're going to lose to UConn. They're going to get crushed by UConn. Although I thought that they would lose to UNC too, and they didn't. So hopefully they hang and make it interesting against UConn. But we will have a huge episode for you next week. It's UFC 300. We'll be back on the Unnamed MMA podcast. Make sure you follow Jordan. He'll have some picks up. You can get all of his picks at fatjacksports.com. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Get in. Listen. Sign up for Fat Check. The dude is undefeated in baseball right now. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday, the dude has not lost a baseball game since the season started this year. So get on that. Baseball's free when you sign up for all the other picks, NBA and the UFC. So make sure you get in on the college basketball, the last few games here in the men's and women's games. And then we'll have all the picks for you next week in UFC 300 on the Unnamed MMA podcast. Thanks for listening.